Part 5. Family. Father, Lionel Dahmer. Lionel Dahmer was born on the 29th of July, 1936, in West Allis, Wisconsin, to Catherine Hughes and Herbert Dahmer. He married Joyce Flint on the 24th of August, 1959, at the age of 23, while he was studying chemistry at Marquette University, Wisconsin, and had his first son, Jeffrey Dahmer, in 1960. When Jeff was 4 and had to have a double hernia operation, Lionel describes the experience as having been traumatic for his son, saying that he likely got castration complex from it. He also expressed how Jeff regularly had ear and nose infections, and that he seemed very agitated and frustrated by the constant handling from doctors and nurses. This could have been a contributing factor for his need for control in later life, where he could handle and manipulate people's bodies rather than be handled by them as he was when he was little. Lionel earned his PhD in chemistry from Iowa State University in 1966, the same year that his second son, David, was born. After several moves during his studies and career climb, the family of four settled in Bath, Ohio. He had a successful career as an analytical chemist and later became known for his writing work on Everyman, 1976, Biography, 1987, and Dateline NBC, 1992. The surname Dahmer is of German origin, and records show that Lionel's grandparents, John and Rosa, immigrated from Germany to the USA in the late 19th or early 20th century. Lionel's father, Herbert Dahmer, lost his own father when he was just 2 years old, and his mother when he was 16. He also died relatively young at the age of 67 in 1971, when Lionel was 35 years old. Lionel and Joyce had such a strenuous relationship that it ended in divorce by July of 1978. Neighbors revealed that the police often had to intervene to get the couple to stop fighting, which got so heated that Jeff often left the house to sulk and brood in the forest, raging over why his home could not be a happy one like other kids. Lionel moved out of the house as they battled over custody for their youngest son, David, while Jeff sat on the sidelines struggling with alcoholism. On the 24th of December, 1978, Lionel married Sherry Virginia Shin, and the pair returned to the house to start their new life, finding Jeff living there alone. On the 29th of March, 1989, Lionel came across a sealed box of Jeff's in his mother's, Jeff's grandmother's, West Allis home, and asked him to open it, which Jeff refused to do. Jeff asked for just 1 square foot of privacy, explaining that the box contained pornographic material that he did not want anyone to see. The next day, Jeff casually invited his father to come and look inside the open box, which contained homosexual pornography, which Lionel then asked him to get rid of. However, in hindsight, he wishes that he had pursued having the box opened on the day that he had discovered it, learning that it contained the mummified remains of his son's 5th victim. When he asked Jeff how he thought it would have gone if he had opened it that day, he said, "That would have been the end of the gig for me." Jeff went on to kill 12 more victims after this, but admitted that this day had been a really close call. In 1994, Lionel published his autobiography titled A Father's Story, which details his battle to come to terms with his son's crimes and mind. In it, he debates whether he passed on evil genes, saying that he dreamed of murder in his adolescence, enjoyed sadistic pranks, and was obsessed with fire and explosives. He almost burned down a friend's garage and blew a kid off his bicycle in his youth, likely displaying signs of the McDonald triad of psychopathy. Jeff read the book in prison in one sitting after his father had sent him a copy and asked, "How come your book didn't have all the happy times we had together?" Lionel torturously replied, "The book was intended to show a limited focus, a spiraling downward," to which Jeff answered, "It sure did." Jeff said that the book was painful to read and that he felt deep regret and sorrow while reading about himself from his dad's perspective. In the book, Lionel admitted that he neglected Jeff during the time that he was studying and drowning himself in work to escape his marriage, but also reflected on the lambs they raised, the owl they nursed back to health, and the gardens they planted together. He said that Jeff loved swimming, riding his tricycle, and play fighting, and that he did not know that his son was capable of what he had become in later life. After releasing his book, he agreed to a highly rated Stone Phillips interview alongside his son, which aired just before Jeff was killed by another inmate in prison. During the interview, Lionel expressed how close he felt to his son, and that it would be that way forever. He described how hard he had tried to fight for his son to receive psychiatric help already after being charged for enticing and drugging 13-year-old Somsek Synthesophone for wrongful purposes, believing that he was a pedophile that needed professional help. When Jeff was visibly an alcoholic drowning in liquor, Lionel tried to help him by taking him to AA meetings and counseling, but nothing worked. It was also his idea to enlist him in the army in the hopes that it would help him turn his life around. Once captured in 1991, Lionel hoped that his son would win his insanity plea so that he could be helped and studied, but to his dismay, this did not happen either. While he was raised in the Protestant faith, he did not instill any sense of moral or religious values in Jeff's mind, expressing that he regrets not doing so in case it would have helped. He became a creationist in later life, passing his knowledge on to Jeff in prison, which converted him to Christianity. When Jeff was growing up, he was impressed that he showed interest in science, anatomy, and chemistry, teaching him how to preserve and bleach animal bones, something that he wishes he could have seen as a warning sign, instead of a developing passion for the same career path as him. When Stone Phillips asked if Jeff and his dad ever talked about things, he said, "We talked about superficial things. I was always a private person," expanding by saying, "But by the time I was 15, most of my thoughts were unshareable." When Jeff was murdered in prison, Lionel fought for his son's rights to have all his remains cremated after his mother, Joyce, had successfully convinced psychiatrists to preserve and study his brain. Once Jeff's killer, Christopher Scarver, was sentenced, the judge agreed with Lionel and Jeff's remains were cremated and distributed equally between him and Joyce. David, Jeff's brother, decided to change his surname and moved to an unknown location after his brother's crimes gained notoriety. When Larry King asked Lionel if he had considered changing his last name too, he said, "No, I'm proud of the name Dahmer. My father was a schoolteacher and a barber. He brought himself up from the bootstraps. His father and mother died when he was very young. I have a very good ancestry and I'm proud of the name. The only thing is, when we go out sometimes, we will give a different name, at a restaurant for example, so that people won't turn their heads around and look and so on." In his book, he said, "I find I remain in the grip of a great unknowing, both in terms of Jeff himself and my effect upon him as a father. Fatherhood remains, at last, a great enigma, and when I contemplate one day that my other son may one day become a father, I can only say to him, as I must to every father after me, take care, take care, take care." David did go on to have his own children, but Lionel's tragic message is important for all to consider. Mother, Joyce Annette Flint. Joyce Flint, also known as Rocky, was born in Columbus, Columbus County, Wisconsin, on the 7th of February, 1936. She was the daughter of Lillian and Floyd Rocky Flint, telling Stone Phillips in an interview that her father was an alcoholic and was very abusive to his wife and children. At a wedding that the family had attended, Joyce's father hit her so hard for dancing with boys that her head struck and broke a window. She had two brothers and one sister, and they were of Irish and Norwegian descent. Her parents eventually divorced, and her father died in 1977, and her mother died in 1983. Her grandfather, Ernest Humphrey Flint, spent time at the Wisconsin State Hospital for the Insane for alcoholism and mental health problems, which is ironically where Jeff Dahmer would have gone if he had won his insanity trial. This means that Jeff struggled with alcoholism and mental health issues much like his maternal grandfather and great-grandfather, which is evidence of a genetic line of behavior. On the 24th of August, 1959, at the age of 23, she married Lionel Herbert Dahmer. They had two sons, Jeffrey Dahmer, 21st of May, 1960, and David Dahmer, the 18th of December, 1966. Both pregnancies were described as physically and emotionally challenging, and she struggled with postpartum depression after each son was born. Joyce was a teletype machine instructor and then became a housewife once she was married to Lionel. She struggled with mental health issues, including borderline personality disorder, hypochondria, anxiety, and depression, and became addicted to sedatives and prescription medication during and after Jeff was born. When Jeff was 10, she was admitted to a psychiatric hospital to treat her anxiety. The pair divorced in July 1978, after which Joyce moved to Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, with her youngest son, David, and did not speak to Lionel or Jeffrey until he was incarcerated. She learned of her son Jeffrey's crimes on television like everyone else, she said. I wake up every morning, and for a split second, I don't know I'm Jeffrey Dahmer's mother. And then it all floods in, she said. In the late 1980s, she got a master's degree in counseling and managed a retirement residence. In 1991, she became a case manager for the Central Valley AIDS team and opened an HIV community center known as The Living Room, working in the field of HIV/AIDS treatment in Fresno, California, until her death in 2000 from breast cancer. Giulio Mastro, the executive producer of the community center, said, "Everybody loved her. She would do anything for her clients, and for anybody, really. She was just this wonderful person. She was enthusiastic, and she was compassionate, and she turned her own tragedy into being able to have a great deal of empathy for people with HIV. Once Jeff was in prison, Joyce called him every Sunday and started building a relationship with him before he was killed in 1994. Gerald Boyle, Dahmer's defense attorney, assisted her to fly out and visit Jeff several times before he was killed. A few months before he was killed, she had attempted to take her own life by overdosing on prescription pills and leaving her gas oven on with its door open, a suicide note reading, "It's been a lonely life, especially today. Please cremate me. I love my sons, Jeff and David." She survived this and decided to write her own book in response to Lionel's, which she planned to title An Assault on Motherhood. However, her breast cancer battle and death in 2000 meant that these plans never materialized. After Jeff's death, Joyce engaged in legal battles with Lionel to have his brain preserved in formaldehyde to be studied for biological abnormalities. However, this was not Jeff or his father's wish, and his brain was eventually cremated as his will had requested. There is no burial or memorial site listed for Joyce Flint, likely because she was cremated, according to her will, which was much like her son, Jeff's. Stepmother, Sherry Dahmer. Sherry Virginia Shin is the daughter of Dwight John Shin and Doris Virginia Gallagher. Her first marriage to Edward D. Jordan ended in divorce on the 10th of January 1974. They did not have children together, but she said that she was a stepmother to his children from his previous marriage. She married Lionel Dahmer on the 24th of December 1978. and became Jeff's stepmother, saying that he accepted her as an individual right from the start, which she appreciated. Sherry took notice of Jeff's behavior and revealed to her husband that he was a closet alcoholic that needed serious attention. What I wanted to do, and what most people wanted to do, was mother him. He was just vulnerable, even if I wasn't his stepmother all his life. As a mother, you sense those things. And he was very vulnerable. He needed love, and he needed attention, she said. Sherry was very caring, observant, and wanted the best for her new stepson. Herself and Lionel spent a few months trying to reach David, Lionel's youngest son, but could not get through to him as he was living with his mother at the time. When Jeff died in prison in 1994, Sherry received the call from the prison warden and had to break the news to his father while he was at work. The couple received half of his ashes and took care of them, putting him to peace, as she described in a Larry King interview. When asked how she felt about the name Dahmer, she said that she was very proud of the name and had used it in the business world and still uses it today, never denying who she is. She married into the Dahmer family and is proud to have done so, even though she acknowledges the judgment that she has sometimes received from it is heartbreaking. Brother David Dahmer. David Dahmer, whose first name was chosen by Jeff, was born on the 18th of December 1966, which meant that he was almost 7 years younger than his brother. This was a significant age gap that did not facilitate great bonding between the two brothers, even though they did sometimes play outside together to try to connect. He found Jeff's pet cemetery in the backyard endearing, believing that he was burying them to honor their deaths. Lionel said that Jeff loved his brother, but many times he just tolerated him because his younger brother was so expressive and active that he often just got on his nerves. Lionel described David as exuberant, energetic, and outgoing, which was quite the opposite to Jeff. David did well in school, was sociable, and did not give his parents any problems, which Jeff envied. When David was 12, his mother took him along to Chippewa Falls, which meant that he did not see his brother again until his name was flashing across television screens in 1991. Once Jeff was incarcerated, David decided to change his last name and separate his life from the notoriety of the case. He moved from Cincinnati to an anonymous location with his wife, is known to have a successful career, and has at least 2 children, which Lionel and Sherry were very proud to talk about in interviews. Grandmother, Catherine Jemima Hughes. Jeffrey Dahmer's paternal grandparents were Catherine Jemima Hughes and Herbert Walter Dahmer, who were both teachers. Herbert died in 1971 at the age of 67. Catherine was born on the 29th of October 1904 and was one of 5 children to Robert Roland Hughes Sr. and Eunice Adele Spears. Robert had Welsh descent, with ancestry information showing that his parents, Roland and Jane Hughes, likely immigrated from Wales to Wisconsin at some point. After her husband died, Catherine lived alone in a home in West Ellis, at address 2357 South 57th Street in West Ellis, Wisconsin, until Jeff moved in with her in December of 1981. She enjoyed cooking, gardening, and reading. She went to church every Sunday, often taking Jeff along when he lived with her, and lived a quiet and peaceful life. She assigned Jeff some chores, made sure he ate proper home-cooked meals, and got him on track for more than 5 years, which is more than anyone else had accomplished with him. However, she was always wary of his behavior, noticing the funny smells coming from the basement that he blamed on her cat Jody, and seeing him bringing men back to the house with him after a night out. By 1989, she had asked him to find his own apartment, which he managed to do. However, he was criminally charged for enticing a minor with wrongful intent within the same week, and sentenced to stay on a work release program in prison for 10 months, which meant that all his belongings were moved back into her basement. Once his time was served, he re-moved out of her home and into his own apartment, which was apartment 213 of the Oxford Apartments. Catherine died on the 25th of December, 1992, at the age of 88, shortly after Jeff was incarcerated for a 900-plus-year sentence. She was buried in Honey Creek Cemetery in West Allis, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Aunt Eunice. Jeff Dahmer mentioned his Aunt Eunice during interviews with the FBI, telling them that she was often the one to get him in trouble with his grandmother. Aunt Eunice is or was the daughter of Jeff's grandmother and Lionel's only sister. She therefore visited her mother quite frequently, also residing in West Allis, and was very suspicious of her nephew's behavior, pointing out the mannequin in the closet and the strange smells coming from the drain pipes in the basement. She was the one to call Lionel to come and investigate Jeff's living quarters on several occasions, which he did. There is not much more information available about Aunt Eunice. Jeff told the FBI that despite her getting him into trouble all the time, he had a good relationship with her. According to ancestry records, she was born in approximately 1930 and is speculated to still be alive in 2021.